Today we're continuing our preaching series, Emmanuel, God with Us, focusing in on peace, the second Sunday of Advent, and the word peace comes through pretty profoundly in the Christmas story. Last week when we were talking about Isaiah chapter 9, that one of the titles that was given to the Messiah that was coming into the world was Prince of Peace. And today we're going to unwrap that a little bit more as we look at another passage from the book of Isaiah today. Isaiah chapter 40 marks a shift in the book of Isaiah from narrative to poetry, and it also moves forward about 150 years, because in Isaiah chapter 40, the Israelite people are in Babylon. They're in captivity. They have failed to follow God. They've been worshiping other idols and other gods, and so as a form of persecution, they were sent to Babylon and were living there in exile. During this time. And poor Isaiah, he's got to be the prophet. He's got to be the voice of God to a people who are now living in another land, in a foreign land with an enemy, and try to help them come back to God. People are probably blaming God because they're living in captivity, not in the promised land anymore. And Isaiah's got to be the voice for God in that very difficult situation. In Isaiah chapter 40, he actually calls them back, saying, look, there is a time of peace that's coming, a time of peace. And it's really a foretelling of first John the Baptist, but also of the birth of our Messiah. So we're going to read just three verses today from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, for a message entitled, God with Us, Peace. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with the third verse, we find these words, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Verse 3 of Isaiah 40 is a prediction of someone who would come before the promised Messiah, the forerunner, someone who would make the way straight for the deliverer. And this, of course, is looking forward to John the Baptist. And so the first point we want to make this morning is this, that we all share in this ministry of calling people back to God. That's what Isaiah was doing as the prophet. That's what John the Baptist was doing as he came before Jesus, calling people back to God. And we all share in that ministry. I think Diane did a great job of encouraging that today in the kids' sermon, that all of us have this ministry of calling people back to God. But specifically, this is calling out John the Baptist. This is foretelling that John the Baptist would come and prepare the way for the Lord. And John the Baptist was a cool dude. I mean, he was really a cool dude. I mean, he wore a coat of camel's hair, leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. I mean, how unenvironmental is that, you know? And he's out in the wilderness, and he's calling people back to God, and he's baptizing people, and he just had a tremendous ministry. John the Baptist, he was a relative of Jesus, but he served his purpose of preparing the way by calling people back to God. Billy Graham did that as well for over 50 years, preaching to over millions of people. What is he doing? He's calling people back to God. And I think we share in that ministry as well. Not just me as a pastor, but you as a parishioner, a follower of Jesus Christ, you have that ministry as well, that we can call people back to God. And here's the good news. We don't have to wear camel's hair and eat locusts and wild honey and be out in the wilderness calling at the top of our voice to do that. All we have to do is share the love of Jesus Christ through our actions, through our words, by calling people back to God, by telling people about our Jesus, like the song we just sang. So, John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord. He was the voice of one calling in the desert, make a way, a highway for our God. And here's the interesting thing about John the Baptist, and it's interesting that he was the Sunday school lesson this morning as well, too. Isn't that amazing how God works that out? But John the Baptist prepared for his ministry for 30 years, out in the wilderness. preparing to do this ministry. And then how long did he have his ministry of calling people back to God? 6 months. 30 years of preparation for 6 months of ministry. Of course, he was then in prison. He was beheaded in prison. And he did what he was supposed to do, but his ministry only lasted 6 months. But I love what Jesus said of John the Baptist after his death. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, of John the Baptist, Jesus said this. He said, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." That's pretty high praise coming from Jesus himself. That's how much Jesus valued what John the Baptist did in preparing the way for him to come as the promised Messiah. There's a second point we need to make this morning, and that's this, that God's peace is always available. God's peace is always available, and that's what Isaiah is trying to tell the people in captivity in Babylon, that God's peace is available. Even when you're in captivity, living among your enemies, in a land that's foreign to you, yes, you can know the peace of God. And he's telling them that there is a greater peace that's coming, that the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind, he says, together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so he's giving some words of encouragement here to a people who haven't been encouraged, who are thinking that, you know, well, God's forgotten about us because look where we're at, you know. Look where we're at. We're in Babylon. How can God love us or care for us? And Isaiah's saying, no, 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 you need to remember that there is a Prince of Peace that's coming. That a time of peace is coming for you. So just hang in there. That God's peace is always available to us, even when we are far from home. Peace was available to the Israelites living in captivity and to a young peasant couple named Mary and Joseph, who had been visited by angels telling them of the good news that a Savior was to be born. You want to see how important peace is? Look at the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph, a peasant couple from a town of Nazareth, halfway around the world. Not much going on in their lives. They plan to get married, and all of a sudden an angel appears to Mary and says, "You are highly favored. You're highly favored. God has selected you for this great act to be a part of the greatest miracle of all, to give birth to the Christ child." And then Joseph has a dream and is told that his wife Mary would give birth to the Christ child and that he was to take her home as his wife. He was not to divorce her. The peace is coming into these lives that have been upset by this news. And yet peace prevailed. You want evidence that peace prevailed? How did Mary respond to the angel's announcement? "May it be to me as you have said." How did Joseph respond? When he woke up, the text tells us he went and took Mary home as his wife. Peace prevailed. We see it early in the Christmas story. God had radically changed the plans of Mary and Joseph, and now they have become the earthly parents of God's Son. The Prince of Peace was coming into a world that was devoid of peace. And so you think God would want to announce that good news, and how's he going to do that? Well, he chooses shepherds on a Bethlehem hillside. An angelic choir, an announcement that unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Once again, he used the very common, the very ordinary. A sleepy town of Bethlehem, some shepherds watching their sheep to let the world know that the Prince of Peace has indeed been born. How did the shepherds respond when the angels announced the good news of Messiah's birth? Well, the text tells us that, in fact, they were very afraid. They were afraid. But then, after they heard the angelic choir saying, you know, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, what did they do? They became fearless. They decided to leave their sheep behind and went into Bethlehem to see for themselves. Isaiah is trying to comfort the Israelite people who are living in captivity that there is a good news of peace that is coming. And as Isaiah declared, the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it. We can't help but think of Jesus' birth and the salvation that he brings. For that is where the true peace lies. In the salvation we know through Christ. And that is our final point today. That is, the peace is the result of Christ living in my heart. Peace is the assurance that I am safe in the hands of God. No matter what happens to me this day or what's going on in my life, I have peace because I have the presence of Christ in my heart. He reigns upon my heart as Savior and Lord. How does the angel describe Jesus to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1? He says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. The Prince of Peace to be born will save us from our sins. And 9 months later, when the angels serenaded the shepherds outside Bethlehem, they boldly declared, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Friends, the peace that we talk about at Advent and Christmas is the peace that Christ has forgiven us our sins, that we have peace with God because Christ came into this world. That's what peace is, having the presence of Jesus Christ in our heart. The Puritan Thomas Watson put it this way. He said, "God the Son is called the Prince of Peace. He came into the world with a song of peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. He went out of this world with a legacy of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Christ's earnest prayer for us was for peace. He prayed that we might be one. Christ not only prayed for peace, but he bled for peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He died not only to make peace between God and man, but between man and man. Christ suffered on the cross that he might cement Christians together with his blood. So he prayed for peace, and he paid. He paid for peace. That is the essence of the peace that Christ gives. Peace is he forgives our sins. You see, friends, without the forgiveness, you and I cannot know true peace. But once we accept Christ's forgiveness, we experience his peace. Colossians 1, 19 to 20, a great verse, says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Friends, the Prince of Peace came to take away the sins of the world so that you and I can know true peace, a true lasting peace. Let me give you a couple takeaways here as we wrap up this morning. First of all, peace is not the absence of turmoil in your life, but it's rather the presence of Jesus in your life. Peace is not the absence of turmoil in your life, but the presence of Jesus in your life. And you look at Jesus and his birth. He brought tremendous peace first to Mary and Joseph, who God had just radically changed their plans. But even in his earthly ministry to lepers, he brought peace. To people who were ostracized in society, he brought peace. To those who were demon-possessed that he delivered, he brought peace. Jesus gave meaning and value to people and brought them peace. That's what it means to have Christ in our lives. Number two, peace with God impacts our relationships with others. Peace with God impacts our relationships with others. You know, peace is something that everybody wants, but very few people know how to get. And when we do get it, we don't know how to keep it because we lose it so quickly. I remember growing up, my mother used to say, can I just have some peace and quiet? Right? How many of you heard that growing up? Right? That's not the kind of thing we're talking about here. Peace is more than living without noise or living without anger. It is living in the presence of Jesus Christ in your heart and living in relationship with others in a loving, generous, gracious way. Peace is a frame of mind that we have when we are right with God. And when we are right with God, you know what? It overflows in our relationship with others. People begin to see the peace in our lives. And they begin to question, you know, tell me what's going on in your life. You don't seem like the bitter, angry person that I used to know. And that's when we can, as Diane said, tell them about our Jesus. And the third point is this, the third takeaway is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The Apostle Paul said those very words in Colossians 3:15. He said, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And it's interesting that the original Greek word that is used there for rule is what we would term used by an official or a referee or a judge or an umpire in a sporting event. When they have to make a call, they rule on a play. And when they make that ruling, it is unquestionable. It's unchangeable. And so when Paul's using that word, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, the people would know, oh, that's binding. That can't be changed because that is a ruling from an official or from a referee or a judge or an umpire. And so much the same way, we need to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Rather than worry, rather than have a complaining, critical spirit, rather than being filled with hate or bitterness, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want Christmas to simply be just a warm and fuzzy story of an infant child born to a peasant couple halfway around the world. It's far more significant than that. It is a story of the Prince of Peace coming into this world so that you and I can have peace with God and peace with one another. But it's only as Christ reigns upon our hearts as our Savior and Lord. Let me close with this today. You may have heard this song that begins with, let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. It's sung a lot at this time of year. It's not really a Christmas song, but it is a song that we often hear at this time of year. And it reminds us that there's something about peace that begins deep within us. And that we have to take the initiative with that. The song has been popular by Vince Gill and many others who have sung it over the year, but it was actually written in 1955 by Jill Jackson, who said when she wrote it after finding, quote, her life-saving joy of God's peace and unconditional love, end quote. She was apparently suicidal before she wrote the song, before God's peace broke through to her. And the song is powerful because it leads us to long for the true peace that God brings. And it also personalizes that peace. The song reminds us of what is readily apparent. The only way we can have peace in our world is to start with peace in ourselves. And the reason why there seems to be so little peace in our world today is because so few people have the peace of Christ ruling in their hearts. If more and more people had the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, we would see far more peace in our world today. So it really does begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Friends, as we celebrate Christmas, are we promoting peace and reconciliation through our lives? Are we experiencing the true peace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ? Let us who have been reconciled to God also be reconciled to one another and experience peace in our lives. Emmanuel, God with us, the peace of Christ ruling on our hearts this Christmas and always, to the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful today that the Prince of Peace has come into the world, that Christ's birth 2,000 years ago brings peace, peace between humanity and God, but also peace within humanity, from brother to brother, sister to sister. And Father, we want to know the peace of Christ. We want it to have it rule in our hearts, as Paul said. And it only comes through faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. So Father, as we continue this journey through Advent, as we make our way to Christmas Eve and celebrating the birth of Christ our Savior, our sincere prayer is that Christ would be born anew in our hearts this Advent and Christmas season, and that we would know peace, the true peace that comes through faith in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.